This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Hey there, just wanted to check in with you. How are you feeling? Have you been feeling stressed, anxious, unhappy? The armchair experts of the internet might recommend a few days of self-care or some shopping therapy, which are not bad things, but today we are zeroing in on what it looks like to instead build emotional resilience. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Between the upcoming election, wars and violence happening around the world, climate change, and whatever you may have going on in your personal lives, it's undeniable that there are many things to be stressed about. But one Northwestern researcher says even when you're going through a tough time, you can learn to turn negative emotions into positive ones. Judith Moskowitz is the Vice Chair for Scientific and Faculty Development in the Department of Medical Social Sciences at Northwestern University, and she's running a study called the Resilience Challenge that helps people do just that. I started by asking her what's happening in our bodies when we're stressed.
So you're having a cortisol spike, your heart rate might be going up.
Just hearing you talk about it, it's happening to me right now.
I'm sorry. When it goes on for a long time, it can really be detrimental to your health.
Mm-hmm. So it leads to other emotions like anger, sadness, anxiety, like I mentioned earlier, which are all side effects of stress, if you will. Are there other side effects of stress?
Yeah. So, I mean, the emotional side effects that you talk about, and when we're under stress, it's hard to concentrate on things. It's hard. It affects our relationships, physical health, your psychological well-being in the long term. So stress can have significant impact on all areas of your life.
Absolutely. So let's dig more into the physical health impact. What does that look like?
A lot of diseases are linked to chronic stress. So I'm not talking like short-term day-to-day stress. Like that's normal. That's natural.
Like my to-do list for today, it's too much.
Yeah. I mean, that's true that it can cause a physiological stress reaction. But again, humans have evolved to have that reaction. It helps you see what needs attention in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But if the stress goes on for too long, you are in a chronically stressed physiological state, it can lead to cardiovascular problems, you might be more prone to getting infections.
Yeah.
There's a lot of negative impact.
Absolutely. And when you say if it goes on for too long, so we have an idea, what is too long?
That's a really good question. I think researchers would give you a big range. I mean, my focus is really on helping people cope day to day with their stressors so that it doesn't get to the point that it's a chronic stress.
So when you talk to folks, I mean, what are you hearing? What are the most common stressors for people? Because I know right now I would have to imagine this election that we've got coming up in, 2 weeks?
Yes.
I think 2 weeks to the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's causing a lot of stress for some of us.
I think it's causing stress for many of us. It's the biggest stressor, and it's what led to us launching our Resilience Challenge now in this period leading up to the election to help people cope with that stress. But there are so many other stressors as well. You know, climate change is a stressor.
Yes.
Day to day. We're still dealing with the after effects of a pandemic that is still ongoing.
Yeah.
So there are, I hate to go on and on about it, but there are many things to be stressed about, which is why we need programs like this.
Yeah. So your argument is it doesn't have to be this way, right? We can actually learn to be more immune to these stressors and side effects, or should I say more resilient?
Resilient.
Resilient is the word here. So tell me about the Resilience Challenge.
So the resilience challenge is based on our work where we've worked with people experiencing the stress of chronic illness, being diagnosed with an illness, everyday stressors. We studied healthcare workers during the pandemic. So we developed a toolkit for people of skills to have more positive emotion alongside the stressful feelings. So the goal isn't to get rid of the feelings of stress or the negative emotions, but rather to enable the positive emotions to help offset that stress.
So focusing more so on the positive emotions in the middle of that stress sort
Correct.
Of taking
so
over.
So you're not denying that things are stressful. You're not suppressing those emotions or pretending that things aren't hard. Instead, it's the acknowledgement that, oh, you know, I can feel stressed and sad and, you know, anxious. And I can also have these moments of positive emotion, which we hypothesize then can help people cope better with whatever stress they're dealing with.
Yeah. So over the course of 5 weeks, folks will be taught 8 skills, complete nightly home practice, and they'll fill out brief daily surveys. And we're going to dig into the 8 skills in a moment, Professor. But what kind of data are you expecting here to see from this study? What are you looking to find?
So it's not a perfectly clean, rigorous, randomized controlled trial, right? So we really wanted to get these skills out to as many people as we could. So everybody gets the skills. So what we'll look for is sort of change pre to post engaging with these skills. So we measure their levels of well-being, so depression, anxiety, positive affect prior to learning the skills. Mm-hmm. And then about 8 weeks later, they get another survey from us and they tell us again where they are on these different indices of well-being. And we expect people to improve. But there will be variability in that, obviously.
So your resilience challenge program, I'm excited to announce it does still have spots open.
It does still have spots open. Yeah, we were pleasantly surprised at the number of people that wanted to do the challenge. We had to cap it at 20,000. We're getting close, but there are still some spots available. So,
okay.
Yeah, sign up now.
Awesome. So people can still sign up
they can.
For the resilience challenge. Where do they go to take part?
They can go to my lab website. It's moskowitzlab.com, M-O-S-K-O-W-I-T-Z lab.com, and then click on the resilience challenge tab.
We'll make sure we repeat that later as well. Now we've got a couple of folks calling already. So let's, hear a question that we got from Mike in Lake Forest. Mike wanted to know if you had techniques and tips for grade school kids.
Yeah, so I think these skills can work for any age level. In fact, we have tested them in high school students.
Okay.
The trick is then for the delivery. So one of the things that I'm sure many of your listeners have heard is sort of noticing the positive events that happen each day. A lot of families do this around the dinner table. What's something good that happened today?
Yes.
Rather than complaining about all the things that went wrong.
Yes.
Let's talk about something good. And by talking in the family about something that went well, you're also practicing the second skill, which is savoring that positive event.
I see. So let's dig into the 8 skills that that you say can be coping mechanisms for stress. So
yes.
I'll read them off here, and then we'll just kind of talk about some of them in detail. So you've got positive events, savoring, gratitude, daily mindfulness, positive reappraisal, self-compassion, personal strengths, attainable goals. Let's start with savoring.
Yeah, so that goes hand in hand with sort of the noticing positive events that happen to you. When we're experiencing stress, we have a tendency to sort of zero in on that stress and only notice the bad things that are going on. So this noticing positive events helps you sort of broaden your attention. So like, I'm having a really rough day, but the weather is incredible, right? So that's a positive event. Then to savor that, you talk to someone about it, you note it on, you know, your social media, you put it in your diary, or you just think about it, which helps you then have that hit of positive emotion again.
Yeah. Gratitude. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. So this can be gratitude. It doesn't have to be a religious or spiritual practice if that's not part of your worldview, but if it is, it absolutely fits. But it can be gratitude for the resources you have in your life, for the people you have in your life, for a kind word from a stranger, gratitude to nature. There's all kinds of things. And again, it's similar to noticing positive events in that just taking a moment to focus on what you're grateful for can give you that hit of positive emotion and, right. and gives you sort of that boost to then continue coping with whatever you're coping with.
Yeah, that's I said that that's a good one because that is something that I actively try to practice all the time, but mm-hmm. especially in moments when things are tough. Mm-hmm. I try my best to sort of stop like mid chaos mm-hmm. and say, but you know what? I'm grateful for, you know, for this breath coming out of my body right. or, you know, just I just start rhyming things off. And I'm surprised sometimes at how much, you know, my pulse and everything just sort of starts to just slow down.
It can work. It sort of puts the brake on the spiral that you can experience
yeah.
when you're stressed, right? You can sort of spiral down into this is terrible and I'm not doing well. And, you know, you ruminate on it where, and that if you just take a moment to note what you're grateful for mm-hmm. or notice a positive event, it can sort of stop that. Downward spiral.
That spiral. Mm-hmm. Daily mindfulness is one of your skills here too.
Yeah. So the daily mindfulness is sort of mindfulness in your everyday activities. So it's noticing what's happening right now, not sort of rehearsing for the future or rehashing what you just said mm-hmm. in the past. As an example, so I walked here from my office at Northwestern and cool. I was thinking about this interview and sort of rehearsing what I might say. And I was like, just, you know, take a minute. So instead, I just mindfully walked over here and I noticed, the lovely weather, the breeze.
The trees.
The beautiful lake. I mean, it was,
yes.
it really made a difference in, you know, my mood coming into this interview.
Yeah. Let's talk about one more here on the list. Personal strengths.
Personal strengths. So, again, when you're experiencing stress, it can be hard to see anything good about yourself. So it's like, I'm not gonna. And what personal strength
always happens to me.
Right, this always happens to me.
What is wrong with me?
Why can't I cope with this? Why am I so awful? Why did I say that? You know, it really gets into this, again, this sort of downward spiral.
Yes.
Where, again, it's a noticing of your strengths. So it's thinking about, actually, you know, I'm having a hard time right now, but there are things about me that I can do. I've coped with things like this before. Or, you know, maybe your personal strengths aren't in the area of the thing that's stressing you out, mm-hmm. but it could be in something else. Like, you know, I'm having a really hard time at work, but you know what? I am a great parent. And it's actually helpful.
Yes, very good. So, I mean, overall, you say, quote, people can be taught to have positive emotions even when things seem pretty bleak. Mm-hmm. Even that alone, just wrapping our mind around that, Professor, a lot of people are probably surprised.
Yeah. Like,
are you kidding me? And maybe they even find that impossible.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised too. When I first started doing this work, we were studying men caring for their partners with AIDS. And this was the mid-90s, so there weren't effective treatments. It was really a terminal illness.
Yeah.
And we were interviewing the men about what was stressful about that. And they were distressed, and they were stressed, and that was true. And then they said, why aren't you asking us about the good things? Mm. So we dove into that a little more and found that, you know, in almost every case, they had good things that were happening, and they wanted to talk about it. So that sort of put me on this path of noticing and helping people have positive emotions no matter what kind of stress they're experiencing.
I see. So how do you think about striking a balance between positivity and realism? Like, how do we make sure we're looking on the bright side, but we're not being delusional?
Right. So, you know, it's like I said, it's not about pretending things are all fine.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's ever going to change if we're all like, everything's fine. It's great. I don't need to do anything. But that staying in that negative place can be demoralizing, right? You don't have any hope at that point. So these skills, I think, and they're simple practices, but just helping people, you know, take a moment and experience that positive emotion and knowing that you can experience the positive alongside the negative.
And if folks want to sign up for the Resilience Challenge, once again, they can head to moskowitzlab.com. This episode was produced by Jules Yeager, edited by Dan Tucker, and mixed by Linnea Dominic. If you enjoyed this conversation, consider subscribing and leaving us a rating. It helps other listeners find us. Really, it does. Thank you so much for listening, and have a good day. We'll talk again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.